Blog Talk Radio.
Today we also are discussing the topic of hair loss, and we have with us someone who has been courageously fighting hair loss, and her name is Mary T. And Mary, we want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network today.
Thank you. Glad to be a part. Thank you very much.
Now let's just jump in, Mary. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I've been living in California for the past 40 plus years. I'm originally from Arkansas. I started dealing with hair loss though in California probably about 10, 12 years ago.
Well, tell us about that. So when you say you were dealing with hair loss, tell us what you mean.
Well, at first I got something like, it was almost like a pimple in the top of my head. As I was combing my hair, I really didn't think anything about it. And it was really sore. And then it was there and then it would go away. And then it didn't bother me for a while. My hair, I didn't notice any changes in my hair or anything of that sort. And then it seemed to occur every 2 or 3 months and then more often. So finally, I start seeing hair loss. I went to the doctors. The doctor, you know, did a diagnosis of me. He had me come back several times. And then he also had me come back several months with a pool of doctors from the Sacramento, Los Angeles area. And I believe he had a couple of doctors from some parts of Texas, too. I felt like I was on display because they was all kind of looking at my scalp, took hair samples to look under the microscope. They also looked at my scalp under the microscope. And it took them, you know, a few weeks to come back to me with the diagnosis said that I had alopecia areata. And they gave me a little bit of information about that, indicated that it could be from straightening comb, when I was using straightening comb, which I really didn't use very much, but they said it could be from straightening combs and from perms, a combination. My type hair loss is the, I kind of have a male baldness. It started off real thin, and now in the very top, I really kind of have no hair, and it's gotten very thin around the edges. So I kind of got a little depressed, discouraged. So at one point, I just shaved it all off to kind of see what would happen. The edges came back, you know, but the top where it had came, where I lost the hair, did not come back. I was also instructed by a hairdresser at the time that was taking care of my hair to use Nioxin shampoo and conditioner, and that was supposed to be really good. But I think it was good from what I understand, if the hair loss wasn't as severe as mine. And, of course, I mean, it felt good to the scalp, but it really did not bring any of my hair back, do anything. That point, I start using wraps and different things for the hair because I was very uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable with wigs and wraps, but it got to the point that I lost so much hair. I went to a place that specialized in cancer and alopecia patients to look at wigs, and then they introduced me to some wigs that was soft to the touch of the skin versus, you know, really some of the wigs are really sticky, kind of stick to your skin and real itchy. So I started wearing those, and I got a little bit more comfortable. And I'm comfortable with them, but it would be nice if I had hair, but I don't think that that's going to happen at this point because it's been so long and I keep losing hair. Once in a while now, the pimples will come back, not that often, maybe once every 2-3 months or so I may get that, and it's very sensitive for me to touch my head or comb it. I still shampoo my hair, condition it every other day because I work out and I sweat a lot. So I still want to make sure
that let everybody know that you're still being treated, correct? Like, this is ongoing treatment for you.
Yes, it is, but nothing is happening, really.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carefree Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Gonna get up, gonna get up, gonna get up.
Oh,
gonna get up, gonna get up, gonna get up.
Ah!
That the Hair Radio Show with Gary Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Keeping the focus on community. That's what the Hair Radio Morning Show is really all about. Yes, we definitely like to keep you looking your best and being well educated on all aspects of the hair and beauty industry. I'd like to say, I think we take it to an all new level with our commitment to community. I think it's something that we're leading, truly leading the way, especially as it pertains to broadcasting on the internet. Just not forgetting what community really represents. So, this show means a lot to a lot of folks because of that. And so community is not just a one direction thing. It really involves everyone. And we believe in that right here. That's where we started all of this. That's what we do. We look in the mirror first. So, I'm Kerry Hines, and thank you so much for helping to support each other. And again, connecting right here in our very own community. Stay tuned.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community, my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Hey, I think we probably underappreciate what communication is all about. I really do. I think that folks, I think all of us really, to some degree, take the art of communication for granted. And by the art of communication, I mean talking, writing, reading, communicating with other folks, and how this process, to me, is going through an evolution with everyone talking about artificial intelligence, AI, and so much more. But again, let's really go back to the basics with this. Picking up a book, reading something every day, because again, reading books will give you that education that you need if you're not able to get it anywhere else. And even if you are, reading a book can take you places, literally. I believe that the ability to read, or just reading books as often as you can enhance and improve your ability to articulate. I do. I really do believe this. And that can only increase your options in terms of being successful in life. So yes, communication is key. Communication is important. Again, reading, writing. Yes, there are shortcuts out there. Again, here we are with technology that one can take. But I think that you are compromising so much more than you know, if that's the path that you take. So I'm encouraging you to just focus on improving your communication skills always. You can never learn too much. I'm raising my hand.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
That I have prophesied. benefited more from the negative as opposed to the positive.
Really?
Yes, because...
Negative experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I really relish and treasure them more than positive, because if I have been able to survive it and reach another level, that has given me more growth, more strength, more confidence.
Yes.
It has enriched my life more, and that's why I treasure them more.
You wake up and your house is a mess and you decide to clean up your house, and doing it makes you feel better. That's a win. You need a pen, a Sharpie, and some post-it notes. Every time I do a live for you guys, for me, that's a win. Because honestly, I get very critical of myself and I just have to like put it aside. So I then take it off of here and I go put it up on my wall where I can see it. Every win you have, you put it on a post-it note and start creating your wall of wins so that you can see what you're accomplishing, so you can see what you're getting done, so you can stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start patting yourself on the back and giving yourself a reward for what you are getting done. Otherwise, you get to the end of the day and you feel like, I just didn't do anything. Because if you've been depressed for 3 days and you get up one day and you just to make breakfast for your family, that's a win. And you need to be able to see your wins, because your wins will inspire you to keep on winning. Your wins will inspire you to stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start focusing on what you are getting done, because everything starts to align and you start doing more. My Stewie says, go to bed with a plan, wake up with a purpose. And I always say, don't put more than 3 things that you want to accomplish the next day. And as you accomplish them, write them down and put them on your wall of wins. So that when a client says no on a job, or you call and they said they're going to send you a check and you check your mail 2 days later and you still don't have the check, but what did you accomplish? What did you get done?
Michael Hopkins. And, of course, Nicole Marie, we are so excited today to kind of, we're talking on behalf of the veterans, of course, in the claims process. But, Michael, what else can you tell us that, you know, really shines the light today on what you'll be covering?
Oh, Carrie, we're just going to dive deep, and we're going to be just looking at a closer look at the claims. That's what we're going to do today.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, right. So, Michael, tell us a little bit more in detail. So, any particular topic that you're going to be covering?
Oh, yes. Very much so, Carrie Nicole Marie. We're going to be talking about tinnitus and hearing loss. Those issues come up all the time with veterans. And denials always come up. So we're going to get a little deeper into it. That's what we're going to do today.
Great.
Okay, so exactly. Now, what makes this coverage today different, you know, than how you've covered these subjects or topics on other shows?
What we're going to do, Carrie, is many times on the regular show, we really didn't have a solution to the problem of your hearing loss and tinnitus. We really didn't have a solution, and we really couldn't dive deep enough to show what to do and how to do. And that's what we want to do here today. We want to go deeper. Yes, that's what we're going to do today.
I'm excited to hear this.
Yes, exactly. Kind of like a real deep analysis, if you will.
Yeah, pretty much. We're not just going to scratch the surface. We're going to pull like an onion. We're going to pull the layers back, and we're going to get right to the heart of the problem and how to fix the problem.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, Michael, take it away.
once again, tinnitus. And just talking about tinnitus, tinnitus is usually that ringing, that buzzing, that humming in the ear. Many veterans have it. Normally, this is something that happens after you're in the military. And it can last for, you know, for years, decades. That's normally what happens with tinnitus. Depending upon the job that you work, that's one of the criteria of rating a veteran for tinnitus. Well, there's a problem. Many jobs that veterans do may not necessarily dictate, and this is on paper, that they have tinnitus. There are some like office jobs, and there are things that you may not necessarily get rated for tinnitus. And a lot of veterans get turned down for tinnitus because on the scale, and it's a three-part scale, they're usually on the low spectrum of the scale, where it's pretty much saying there's little or no chance this job you did in the military had an impact on you having ringing in your ears. The noise exposure chart has on it mild, moderate, severe for any type of hearing issues or tinnitus issues. And a lot of veterans, it's very frustrating to a lot of veterans, because they know they have tinnitus, and they're quite sure it came from their military service. So what do you do, Carrie Nicole Marie? What do you do?
I was just thinking, as you were saying it, I'm thinking it sounds like it would be very much a challenge for the veteran to kind of prove this, to show this service connection, even though they may totally, you know, feel that or... And you know what I mean? It seems like it would be a challenge to really prove
yes.
that.
Right.
And yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is a challenge. But there's a solution to their challenge, Carrie and Nicole Marie. There's a solution. Sometimes there's several solutions. One of the areas that many veterans don't look at when they're doing a tinnitus claim. Uh-oh. Does this mean I get the drum roll, Carrie? Do we have the machine working yet?
Not quite yet, but we'll use our imagination.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
It's forthcoming. It's forthcoming.
Oh, yeah. But one of the areas that veterans should look at, where did you work when you were in the military? Where did you work?
Right.
Did you work on an airfield? Did you work around helicopters and airplanes? Maybe you worked around tanks, or you worked around artillery pieces that made noise, or you had to go when there were field exercises. Even though you were a clerk or you were in human resources, guess what? You had to go to the field or to the training with everybody else.
Right.
You had to perform your duties. Yep. So guess what?
You were affected.
You are affected. It's called acoustic trauma. And if you have to go, very typical when you're in any type of military unit, you have vehicles. Just because you work in human resources does not mean that you're not assigned a military vehicle that has to be maintained. And that military vehicle is usually in a motor pool with other military vehicles. And guess what happens? Don't you have to start that vehicle up and check the oil and the water and the transmission, and you may have to go on errands for the captain, or you may have to, part of your duties and responsibilities is to go pick up things and do things, and you work in supply, and all these different areas where traditionally on paper, it says, well, you were administrative, so there's no way in the world this could happen to you. But yes, it can. Yes, it can. And that is a solution to most veterans' problems when it's tinnitus and they get denied tinnitus. That's the solution. Go back. Yeah, just go back, show the government, i.e. the VA claim section, where you worked. You know what else works too, Carrie and Nicole Marie?
What's that?
Pictures. Show pictures of where you work. We have this crazy thing called Google. You guys ever heard of Google? Google Earth? You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not, you can go on Google Earth and find a military base where you were assigned to. And you can just about pinpoint where you were as far as a building on that base. There are all kinds of, these are the things that veterans can do when it comes to tinnitus.
Well, they're kind of like tools almost, right, Nicole Marie?
Right. This helps
Right. That we wouldn't even think about.
Right. Would not even think about it, and many veterans don't. But this is an excellent tool for them to use to get rated for tinnitus. And you know, at me as an accredited claims agent, I know it works. You know, I read reports of veterans, and I know it works. It works.
Now, that's on the side of tinnitus, Michael.
Right.
But you also mentioned hearing loss as well.
Right.
And again, are you making that distinction between the two today?
Very much so, Carrie. Hearing loss is another issue, and as you said, it's separate from tinnitus. Tinnitus is ringing, buzzing, humming, etc. Hearing loss is the actual loss of hearing due to military, being in the military, being around noise, et cetera, acoustic trauma, actual injury, illness to your hearing. That's the big difference. Most veterans, when it comes down to hearing loss, it's going to be very hard. Reason being, most of us as veterans don't go on, as we call it, sick call, the hospital, medical call, whatever we call it, and whatever branch we're in, most of us don't go to the doctor and say, hey, I can't hear. I don't know what's wrong, but I can't hear. Most of us just don't do that. We're mission-oriented people. We go on with the mission no matter what happens. So while on active duty, most veterans will not have that in their active duty service treatment records or their medical records. They won't have anything that talks about hearing loss for the most part. Yes, there's always exceptions to the rules, and I've seen some people that they actually develop hearing loss while on active duty, and it was agreed that's where it happened, and they got rated for it because they had all the right evidence to show that's what happened. For the most of us, we don't have that kind of evidence to show what happened. However, once again, we do have other resources.
And
that
what
can
are some
show.
Of those resources,
and some of the resources, Carrie Hines, could be, once again, where you worked. That's one of the resources you have that showed that you have some type of acoustic trauma. That's a resource. Another resource, believe it or not, for many people out with the hearing loss is already being service connected with another issue. that caused some type of hearing issue. Can you guys guess what that issue could be?
Well, you got me, Michael Hopkins. Is it? Wow.
I need that drum machine.
When you're filing the claim?
Pretty close. Yeah, pretty much. It's a contributing factor to hearing loss.
What on earth could that be, Michael Hopkins?
It begins with a T.
Well, the only thing we can think of is tinnitus.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh,
you have a winner.
Michael,
that's what I said.
Michael didn't get credit on that one.
There you go.
Nicole,
there you go.
Tinnitus. I was like, I think Nicole Marie said tinnitus.
Uh-oh.
I said it sounds like tinnitus. And we thought we were shot down, Michael Hopkins.
Right,
oh, no.
Right.
No, you guys weren't shot down. That was just my hearing loss and tinnitus kicking in. And no, you weren't shot down. Yep. Many times having tinnitus is a catalyst to hearing loss because it's a contributing factor. And a lot of veterans don't really know that. It's not stressed enough.
Wow.
But with a little research, guess what?
What's that?
With a little research, guess what you can find? That it is. We have Google. Google is one of the, you know, I don't have to be a medical professional so much, but
you
can Google things.
You just need a set of thumbs.
Yeah, and let your thumbs do the walking. And, you know, you'll find these things out. You know, so many veterans, they'll beat themselves up and they, oh, my God, I know I got hearing loss. The VA gave me hearing aids. And when I filed for the hearing loss, now they're telling me it's not service connected. Well, it's a strategy. It is a strategy, and that's the strategy. You have tinnitus, and the tinnitus contributed to your what? Your hearing loss. Oh, and there's some other things too, guys. There's some other factors. Medication.
Okay.
Certain meds can cause hearing loss, even if it's temporary. Certain meds can cause hearing loss.
Yes.
You can
now.
Actually,
who in the world would have ever thought that?
Right.
Most people
that is so far left. It's not funny. Most people don't think of that. But medications can cause hearing loss, illnesses, you could have other illnesses like, say, Meniere's disease. You have a disease, you know, eardrum issue. Headaches can contribute to it. There's different things, and it just takes a little research.
Yes.
And you
and
start
that relationship that you have with your physician,
right,
of course.
Right.
That's really
right.
Good stuff, Michael. Yes.
Yes. And you know, like I said, a lot, and you know, many times the VA, unfortunately, in the claims section, they may have overlooked these things that a veteran has, carrying the Cold Marie, they may have overlooked this stuff. It may be right there in your service treatment records, or it could be right there in your medical records if you go to the VA hospital or if you go to a private doctor and the VA has access to your medical records. They may be right there, but nobody's paying attention to it. Many times, the individual veteran has to bring this to the attention of the claims section.
Wow.
They can do it through a supplemental claim. That's that VA form 20-0995. The supplemental claims form is used for new and relevant evidence. And it's nothing like going back into your service treatment records if you have them, or even if you don't have your service treatment records, there are so many veterans that have been issued hearing aids by the VA. And may I add, state-of-the-art hearing aids, very expensive hearing aids. In order to get those hearing aids in the veterans' medical records, it will clearly say you got those hearing aids because for VA purposes, you have hearing loss. That's the other key. A lot of vets, they file for the hearing loss. Oh, I got turned down, but I know I got hearing loss. There's part of your answer right there. In your medical records from the VA, it says you have hearing loss for VA purposes. That and a combination of having tinnitus or some other issue that has given you hearing loss can get you a rating for hearing loss.
Well, that is just, that's very interesting, Michael Hopkins. I've got to say,
I would have
never really thought about that. You know, but this is a topic I gotta say I appreciate always when you cover tinnitus and the topic of hearing loss. I do,
yeah.
And right, Nicole Marie, and just being able to review some of this is gonna be very helpful to the veterans out there. So good
very
job.
Very much so.
Good job.
Very much so.
Well, listen, I look forward to covering some of these topics more in depth as time goes on. I know you'll be picking several of these apart and doing a full-on, right, a big analysis, if you will, of these. So, all right. So, great job, Michael. Anything we need to give a round of applause. Now, anything you want to kind of close out on this topic, Mr. Hopkins?
Oh, very much so. It's so very important the individual veteran reviews their medical records and they review their decision letters also if they've been denied for hearing loss or tinnitus. They should especially look in where it has favorable findings. And in the favorable findings of your decision letter, it normally tells you what's missing. You may have one thing that's missing that if you have that one thing that's connecting for your hearing loss or your tinnitus and you find that one issue in your medical records, you go and you get an examination, you do things of that nature, then you submit a supplemental claim with that new and relevant evidence. Many times, Carrie and Nicole Marie, that's exactly what that veteran needed, and they can get rated.
Now, Michael, what should a veteran do if they were in the military some years ago and they don't have access to their medical records, if they don't have them on hand? What should they do?
There are several things, Nicole Marie, that they can do, one of which they could go to the archives of the United States government. They can go online, and the archives of the United States government has a section that allows them for free. Notice I said the word for free because you've got people out here that will try to charge you money to get your records. You don't have to pay money to get your records, veterans.
Wow.
They can go to archives. Very important. They can go to archives.gov, and they can fill out paperwork, and they can straight submit it to the archives of the United States government, and it may take 3 months, 6 months. It depends on the government, and they can get a copy of their records. Also, Nicole Marie, you bring up something also that's very good. It's a good point that you have there. Did you guys know that many times a lot of the veterans that are already rated for things, they already have a percentage and all that good stuff. Did you guys know that they actually have something called a claims file or a C file that's free for them to get? It's a compact disc. It's a disc, and guess what could possibly be on that disc?
Medical records.
That's right. They could possibly get copies of their military records when they were on active duty. What a lot of veterans don't know is that when the VA, the claims section, is adjudicating your claims and they're gathering evidence, and you see it on your decision letters all the times, guys, it'll say something about evidence, you know, gathered, you know, this is the evidence that we used. Many times, the claims section actually goes to the archive section of the United States government and pulls your medical records from active duty. They actually pull your records many times. And guess where they wind up? In your claims file, or C file as we call it. And all a veteran has to do, they have to do a Freedom of Information Act request. It's a form that they just get, a Freedom of Information form specifically for veterans, and they fill the form out, they mail it back to Janesville, Wisconsin, and guess what?
And what?
Claims file will show up at your house.
Wow.
And there's also the manual method. You could send it to St. Louis. You can take, it's an SF-180 form, standard form 180. It's a government form. Once again, you can go online. You can Google the form. You can print it out. And depending upon what branch you were in, it has addresses of all the different branches. If you were a reservist, if you were a National Guard, if you were active duty. And basically, the form tells you where to mail it. Each state, if a person was a National Guardsman, each state has a National Guard bureau or office. If they were National Guard, the reserves have their own component that you send it to. There's a National Guard Bureau of the United States of America. It's right here in my state, in Virginia. And it has all the records for all the National Guardsmen. So you have options. A lot of times, a lot of the vets think they don't have options. But you have so many options to find your records. And another thing, Nicole Marie and Carrie, even if you're filing claims and you can't find your records, let the VA find your records. Let the claim section find it. You just file for the claim. If it's something happened to you, hurt your back, your knee, your leg, you know, your neck, your ankle, your knees, and you know it happened on active duty and you still suffer from it now, and when you got out of service, you were suffering from it, and you went to the hospital and doctors and all that, file for the claim. Use as much of that information as you have. Submit it with your claim as evidence. Don't hold on to it. We have a tendency to hold on, and I can't find my record, so we don't file. That's not what you do. Go ahead and file, everybody. You can sort all of this out. Even if they turn you down, you get denied, it doesn't matter, because guess what? You still have other evidence you can go back and you can supply the government with that they don't have. That's why it's called submitting new and relevant evidence to your claim. You have 1 year to do that after they deny you. So don't wait 364 days and submit the information. Submit it as soon as you have it. just go ahead and submit it. You never know. Sometimes you might find some new evidence. You might find your own medical records where the VA says we can't find them. You start digging through old stuff, and next thing you know, oh, my goodness, here are my medical records from active duty. And then you look through them, and what happened? Oh, here it is right here. I went on sick call for my left knee, and that's the same knee when I got out the military I was having problems with. When I went to my private doctor, they took x-rays, and they said I was developing arthritis. And I've been going ever since to the doctor for my arthritis, and it's gotten worse. Well, you just solved your case.
Exactly.
You just solved what the VA was looking for. Sounds like a plan, everybody. Sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, I tell you, this is very interesting to me, and I've been making some notes.
Yeah.
So very good stuff.
Pieces of a puzzle.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
Putting the pieces together.
Exactly. Well, okay. Well, Michael, I just want to say thank you. I mean, this is very helpful. And it's always a pleasure to have Nicole Marie in with us.
Very much so.
Yeah. So very good. Okay, Michael. So as we said earlier, we look forward to you kind of doing these reviews, kind of like a little bit more of a breakdown on these different topics. And today was outstanding. Again, tonight is in hearing law. So
Wonderful. Great
job.
Thank you, Michael.
Oh, you are quite welcome. Very much so.
Oh, and Michael, let's just remind everybody, Keisha McAllister, you run and operate Lavender Beauty out in Fairfield, California. Yeah, and what I love about it is that this is a salon suite. And just remind everybody the difference between like a salon suite and a traditional full big old salon.
Well, a salon suite is more focused on the by appointment only service to each of your clients. It also allows for the stylist to work with a specialized clientele, so whether that might be disabled or people who need a certain type of privacy because of hair loss or different types of issues, this is what offers that clientele the service and the privacy. The big salon is also, they're also a lot of fun, but they don't give the privacy that some people need or require. And so that is what has allowed me to serve my clientele for many years on a by appointment and only basis.
Now, do you get spoiled being like not working with about, a number of other hairstylists? Do you get spoiled being like working, in a singular capacity, if you will?
I don't think so, because you still have to work with clients. You're still working with people, and that means you still have to be, on your P's and Q's about how you speak, how you present yourself, you know, what y'all talk about, what you listen to. It's still the same experience. So, no, you don't get spoiled, because it's not to be away from people. It's just now that I offer a different type of service.
Well, I'm loving this, because I was just thinking as you were saying this, and I'm thinking, oh, I'll bet the clients actually would really appreciate that extra little. It's like they get to have the attention really focused on them.
Definitely.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Hines. Of a Sway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
All right. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. And we are on the line with the amazing Magi Helena.
Good morning, Helena. Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. It's so great to be here today.
Yes, awesome. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in when we talk about astrology, and I love the introduction that you gave about understanding astrology. Would you be kind enough just to share one last time, just kind of bring everybody up to speed on what we think of when we say astrology or what we should think of?
Okay. Well, the very basics or the basic premise is that the positions of planets in the sky make various mathematical relationships to planets on any particular day. If we sort of had a map of the sky on a day, let's call it your birthday, Carrie. If it was your birthday,
yes,
there'd be sort of a map of the planets on that day. And then if we were going to look at what's going on in your astrology for today, we would look at the relationships between the planets in the sky today and the planets on the day of your birth. And the type,
wow,
of astrology I do, Carrie, it's the only type of astrology that's actually based on scientific and statistical research. It's not based on belief systems. So our way of interpretation and understanding has been validated or verified by research.
Love it. Love it. Well, listen, one of the big reasons that we wanted to have you on the Hair Radio morning show at this time is because we are forever honoring the legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I was hoping that you could take a look at, you know, and kind of, you know, give your ideas on any kind of chart or anything that you wanted to share. What would you like to say today, Helena?
Well, I'd love to speak a little bit to Dr. King's incredible astrological birth chart. I mean,
wow,
when you do look at birth charts from the perspective of scientific astrology, they're very, very clear. But while everyone has gifts in their birth chart, big gifts from God, we all also have some challenges. And not all of us are able to live up to all of our gifts for various reasons. You know, life isn't easy. And what's so amazing to me, one of the many things that's so amazing to me about Dr. King's chart is how beautifully he was able to live up to all of his gifts and face down his challenges. This was a man who did God's work in the world. And
wow,
and he was able to do that through the gifts in his chart and then the personal discipline and the personal honor and the personal integrity that he had as a human being. So when I look at his chart, one of the first things I see is how gifted he was as a speaker, obviously. He was immensely talented, and he had a hunger to communicate his ideas. The way I would express some of this stuff, I would talk about planets rather than talking about zodiac signs, because we don't use zodiac signs in scientific astrology. They just haven't proven to work well,
yes,
enough. But what I'm talking about here with Dr. King's chart, one of the things is, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff that's not going to make a whole lot of sense unless you're a student of astrology, but he's got an amazing iron butterfly of Sun, Saturn, Ixion. Ixion's a planet way out there past Pluto in what's called the Kuiper Belt. And then he's got a Jupiter midpoint and Midas at the fourth corner of this iron butterfly. And people that have complicated and symmetrical geometric shapes in their charts, these are the people,
yeah,
that really have the most powerful gifts. And Dr. King's chart is just full of what we call planetary geometry. And you can cherry pick almost anything and see this. You see his dedication to humanity, to all kinds of folks in all kinds of situations. You see his hunger to bring in a better world. And you see that while he was angry, he channeled the anger into trying to actually do things that could work. He channeled,
wow,
the anger into talk of peace and nonviolent protest. I mean, I am so moved by what this man did and what he was able to take, the raw material that God gave him, and the way he was able to use that raw material to make such an incredible contribution to the world.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide and the longest running hair and beauty radio show.
Well, it's like, I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins, and I'm Carrie Hines, right here on the All Know Hair Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York live. Always make it a great day.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Wednesday morning, January 10th of 2024. I'm Carrie Hines. It is our midpoint, so second hour, top of the second hour, of course, on today's broadcast. I just wanted to take a moment and, of course, bring to the line my amazing co-star. We've got a lot to get to. We've got a lot of unpacking to do on the Hair Radio Morning Show today as we broadcast again live. Nicole Marie, you guys know her. You listen to her in the first hour. It is just fantastic to catch up with her. And we're going to be chatting. Kind of lots to get into. Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Good morning. And happy mid-show. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, it's good to be back live.
It certainly is.
Yes. I have been kind of enjoying listening to a lot of the vet talk with Michael this morning.
Yes,
Yeah, me too. For the simple reason, we haven't had a big chance to get on a lot of the vet talk in recent weeks. As folks know, we've had so much with Blog Talk, dilly dallying, but we're back and we've handled things and things are kind of moving on the right direction. Plus,
you have my commitment
to make this program the best in the morning and something that you really want to wake up to. And so that's what we're looking at. And if you guys out there, if you want to talk more about the hot topic, like we're going to chat about in just a bit, this is the place to be, first thing live in the morning. Who could ask for anything better, right, Nicole Marie?
That's it. Right here.
Yeah. Yeah, so if this
this morning, let me say, this morning, my takeaway was community and the talk of community and how important it is for all of us. We definitely focus on community here, you know, on our broadcast, Hair Radio Morning Show. You know, we're all about community, hair, beauty, and community. But community is so, so very important.
Yeah.
And it's necessary for everyone to be involved because it's our community. We're the ones that are responsible for making the difference, for making change. So it's not up to a few people. It's up to every single person to jump in and do their part. And then that's when a community can change, can build, and can thrive. So I just enjoyed that talk this morning and just that focus just on community because it is so very, very important.
That's
sometimes
right.
people
and,
think that their voice is not important, but it is very important.
Exactly.
You have a voice. It's your community.
I totally agree. Now, Nicole Marie, how does that work with community and young girls or women? Is there a reason, should women kind of galvanize a little bit? Are women and young girls being represented by the process itself now? And what do you want to say?
Well, I say most definitely to what you just asked, because it's very important for every single person to be represented, to stand up and their voice be heard. But most importantly, for girls and women, we have an important voice, and our voice definitely needs to be heard. And sometimes in our community and government and some, you know, for certain areas that have been discussed, women don't have that voice, or that voice tries to get kind of suppressed. No, we have a voice. We have a say. Especially when it comes to us, we definitely have a say. We need to be in control of ourselves and what happens to us. So it is very, very important. And it's important to start young.
Well, when, yes, I totally agree with you. And I have to say, for you guys out there just kind of joining us, Nicole Marie, you are an elected official down in your neck of the woods, down in Water Valley, Mississippi, and I am so proud to say, talk about community. We listened to Michael Hopkins, who was on with supporting the veterans and being an accredited claims agent in our first hour. I myself and I am trying to be reappointed for a second term. Then
wonderful.
Also looking ahead at an elected position, so I'm going to try I invited one of our political official, Wayne Smith. I'm going to see if we can get him on this morning in the next hour because I'm looking at building a campaign and what does it take. So you talk about community, being a part of the political process, all of that. We, oh, boy, and we haven't even gotten into the hot topic today yet.
Exactly.
We have not
even so much deeper.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have to tell everybody, first of all, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines with Nicole Marie. It is Wednesday morning. We're live. Again, January 10th of 2024. It's our broadcast show number. If you are keeping track, it's show number 936. Again, show number 936.
Wow.
Nicole Marie, I don't know where you have been this weekend. But boy, oh boy, the internet was just a buzzing, really have to tell you, I don't know if you heard about, I'm going to just run down some topics today with and see how you guys weigh in. You're welcome to join us if you wish, if you listen, if you want to, press one, and we'll get you on and get your comments on. First of all, there's a comedian out there who has been in movies and things like that and kind of in different scenes, a real interesting fella, his name is Cat Williams, and
right.
He is a funny fella. He's really set the internet abuzz, and in the Black World broke the internet as far as I'm concerned.
He set it on fire.
Talking about this great. He set it on fire because he did an interview with this gentleman, and I'm not a big sports person, but I believe he's a football player, a former football player. Yeah,
yes,
and he did this huge, Okay, thank you. And he did this huge, huge piece. I caught wind of it because it was in part a tribute to Cat Williams paying for Melba Moore's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And
okay.
It was like 75,000. Last I checked years ago, it was like 50,000. So folks don't realize that they are an organization, and it costs money that's got to be raised, and then the committee and all this kind of stuff. I myself
right.
am thinking of putting in. You get a couple years to collect
awesome.
And to get the money together and all that. But that's a whole, I digress there. But he did, he included this talk about Melba, so I was real happy to hear about that. Great. Oh, boy. Did he have a few other things that have just been floating all over the Internet?
Oh,
and
he has
I
a lot
mean
to say.
Floating over the Internet. He has a lot to say. Now, okay, so I'm gonna just toss it on out there. What did you hear that kind of made an impression on you, Nicole Marie? Did you catch part of it and all that?
I did. I caught some of it. The interview was over 2 hours, so I haven't seen the interview in its entirety, but I plan to continue so I can hear everything. But the parts that I heard, though,
yes.
he was speaking of just, you know, other comedians, how certain things were not true, how on a particular movie that he was in, how some events didn't occur the way that they have been reported. He talked about his childhood and how he, you know, left from home, some family dynamics and different things. I just found it very interesting. He just went from one topic to the next, to the next, to the next. But some of the things that he was talking about from other people, I was just like, wow. Wow, wow. And he said he was all about, you know, 2024 was all about exposing the truth. The truth was going to come out in 2024.
I kind of, you know what, I totally agree with that. Now, I'm going to say this. For me, I've never been a huge fan in that way. I kind of know who he was a little bit.
Right.
He was on my radar, but as far as being a huge fan, I'm going to have to say I'm just really discovering who he is. But
right.
the things that I saw floating around, I thought he had really good points for, you know, did he sound a little bit bitter? Could some folks think he was a little bit harsh and bitter and this and that?
I think if you know the comedy of him and just the way he expresses himself, I didn't take it as being bitter. He was just laying out the facts from his standpoint to me.
Uh-huh. Well,
did you think he was bitter?
I think you're right. Listen. I don't know. I think I had heard some things before because he had always, I think it was him, and he's not a big fan, obviously, I believe, of Kevin Hart.
Right.
So I think that there was that, and I said, well, it's, you know, I think he's been accused of being bitter and stuff. I don't know him all that well, but I don't know. And did he put it out there the right way? And, you know, because even though you may have good points, sometimes it's how you say things. So
that's
I don't
true.
Know. I think that most of the folks, yeah, I think that everybody kind of received it the way he wanted it to receive it. I think he made a big point. You know, I'm kind of glad he did. I give him thumbs up. I'm sorry. I do. I give him two big thumbs up. No, I really do. I give him two thumbs up and eight fingers up. Okay. And 10 toes.
Yeah,
I
well, I agree.
I'm so glad.
I don't know. You know, there's two sides to every story. And, you know, a lot of things, okay, we weren't there. We don't know for sure. But to me, I agree with you. You know, he expressed himself. He, you know,
came out with some things, and behind the scenes, we never know. Unless you're in the industry and really know, we don't really know what goes on behind the scenes. Well, he's been there.
Well,
he's
now,
still in it.
Now we're
so,
we're yeah, exactly.
Things have
well,
been exposed.
You know, we're going to keep an eye on this one. Yeah. So, well, things are being
keep watching,
exposed.
Keep listening.
And let me tell you something. Exactly. Keep listening. And I want to talk a little bit about the things that are kind of popping up and
all
have
right.
been kind of cropping up. One of the big things that is really getting me is this whole color purple chaos.
Oh, my goodness.
That
yeah.
I have been, yeah. And I've been wondering, should we call it the color green? What is
that's
really
what it comes
going
down
to.
The
that's
almighty
what it comes
dollar.
Down to.
And that's so true.
Now,
and
you know
what Terry,
I got to say this.
Oh,
what?
Goodness.
What, Nicole Green?
To me, it's very sad. I know, you know, the topic is money, and it's so sad to me because it's women. That's disheartening to me because we should be looking out for one another and taking care of each other, and the whole situation is just, it saddens me. It just makes me very sad.
Okay. Can I be really honest with you guys about this? Listen, I don't know where you guys have been, but Taraji, to me, no offense, Miss Henson, she's always been a loose cannon to me. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
She's always, I've seen little clips of things. She just comes out of left field and, you know, and has assertions about. And I don't know, but to me, if you hire her, you're going to possibly have to deal to me with whatever she is going to be saying and chatting about. And if you don't want that, then you should not hire her for that project. But if you do, this is what you're getting. And I'm not saying that you should punish her for speaking her truth. She feels
mm-hmm.
that black women are not getting paid well, and I believe that wholeheartedly. Black men are not getting paid. Ain't nobody black getting paid unless you're at the top. And sadly,
true.
Even in her case, when you are at the top, you're still not getting paid. And I think that was her point. Again, how you communicate things. Now, they've taken on the big O. That's the way I look at it. Oprah's out
right.
here defending the color purple with every talk, every time I look and turn on the TV. I think that it has overshadowed the success of the movie. The movie did well on its opening day, which was Christmas Day
right.
of 2023. I'm now looking at everything in its entirety and just thinking, wow. I think that for you guys out there and being an executive producer here on the broadcast, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that, like you just said, Nicole Marie, that we don't know.
Right.
There's a lot. And
right.
so while Oprah has a big part of it, she has to answer to a studio.
Exactly.
They act like every decision on this is Oprah's. Probably not.
That's so true.
Although her
That's so
voice
true.
Obviously
But at the same
weight.
Time, Carrie, I have to say, it is Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah Winfrey has pull, no matter how you look at it.
Well,
she is Oprah.
I can't say that it the final, well, not the final, the final word. I would not believe that that's Oprah's. I believe as a producer, you're working in tandem with the studio who has,
oh,
they're
that's
the
true.
Bosses,
yes.
the real bosses.
True.
So I can't say, but and we're not exactly there, and Oprah's tried to defend both sides of it. I don't really know. All I know is that, to me, you know, and we also have a difficult time understanding this because Taraji has said, you know, they didn't pay her enough. For most of us, $150,000 or whatever she did get paid and asking for $500,000 and stuff like that, she, you know, to us, that's a lot of money. But,
that's so
you know,
true.
Again,
that's so
she's
true.
Looking at it through her lens and what he, so it's hard for us to kind of really grapple and understand what she's trying to say with all this.
That's so true.
I think
those negotiations,
yeah,
everything
think,
would have been done on the front end, so you would know,
yeah,
you know, what you're going to be paid and so forth.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Oprah.
Like I said, there's so
Ooh,
much
they,
that goes on behind the scenes that we don't know. Those negotiations
no, we don't know.
And everything that we don't know
no.
about.
And they are letting you have it on poor Miss Oprah. I've never seen her so much on the hot seat. But I'll tell you, here's my other thing. You know, I have to be honest with everybody in my own personal view, is that Oprah, I think that the black community kind of has started to wane a little bit in terms of supporting her. We love Oprah, of course, and Gail and the whole crew that came with all that. My big thing with this whole Oprah piece is that I think that the black community kind of, we were, and I can't speak for everybody, but my feeling is that when, you know, to have Oprah interviewing Michael Jackson, and then to later, in which it looked to all of us like Michael trusted Oprah, and then to then have Oprah sit down with two of his accusers that obviously were in it for personal gain.
Right.
And for her to give them a voice and a platform, well, let me tell you something. You don't go against black America supporting Michael Jackson.
No, no.
And I think that was where she kind of, and I think that folks are kind of, it made everybody look up and say, oh, boy. Because is that coming off as fairness when we see that she was coupled and talked, you know, big supporter of that Weinstein fellow and all this other stuff
exactly.
who's in prison as we speak?
Exactly.
So, you know, this is the kind of thing, it's a little bit, we're looking at more than side-eyed. And I think
exactly.
this is going to be very, you know, as Pat has kind of said in general with some of the other things, this is the year of the truth. You want 2024,
yes,
it's the year
truth.
Of the truth.
That's right. Lots
well,
of things being
speaking
told.
Of the truth. Yeah, right? Is that not something? Well, listen, folks, if you are just joining us again, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines with Nicole Marie. Nicole Marie, as always, and today is no exception, we kind of bring in our, what do we call it, our hope of the day.
Hope talk. Of the day.
And
yes.
Yeah, and I love it. I think that today is no different, and we kind of gave you your own wonderful hope of the day theme song. We'll take a listen, and then we're going to get into it. What kind of inspiration you've got on tap for us today? So let's take a listen at your intro.
Well, first of all, we'll hope is important to each and every one of us because it gives our lives meaning. It's that belief that our future can be better than our past. So no matter what we may have been through, going through, going to go through, there's always hope. Just that positive expectation that change can and will occur in all of our lives. So every day I share an inspirational way from a book by Patrick Lindsay, and it's called High Hope.
Wow. Okay, Nicole Marie. Always hope. Take it away.
Always hope. Thank you, Carrie. Well, our hope of the day for today is connect the dots. Observe the links. See why people act and how things work. Watch for the repetitions. See the patterns. Wisdom is using experience to understand developing situations and to solve problems. Back to you, Carrie.
Mm. All right. I think that is great hope advice for today.
Yes,
it really
is.
Is. And learning to connect the dots. And
connect
connecting
the dots.
The dots really means taking your not just your successes of the past, but your failures, your challenges, and using that, using that as good old experience that you can build upon and come back stronger than ever. And I find that we are right at that very place at this company at Air Radio. And we'll talk a little bit about it in the third hour. But I just want to say how awesome this is. So connecting the dots.
Connect
that's
the
what
dots.
It's all about. And that was my favorite thing to do as a kid, by the way. I used to love Connect the Dots. I think I would play that now if I found it. So I think that's important. What about you, Nicole Marie?
I think it's very important because we have to connect the dots to no matter whether, you know, things have been good, have been bad, we've made good decisions, bad decisions. We connect it all because it's a learning experience. That's life. It's about learning. It's about growing. And it's about when you know better, you do better to make change. And but you keep on moving. No matter what has happened, you keep on moving. You may slow down a little bit depending on what it is that's going on, but guess what? You never stop. You keep on moving to make a difference, to make change, to make things better. Connect
the dots. Well, speaking of that, I love that. Thank you, Nicole Marie. Let's see if we can get a hold of Mr. Vet Talk himself. You heard him in the first hour. We really went in with quite a bit of the talk on tinnitus and hearing loss and all of that. We're talking about, of course, accredited claims agent Michael Hopkins. You know he's charged with helping veterans navigating the claims process for a few to add to their bottom line. Michael comes to us from wonderful and beautiful Spotsylvania, VA, Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Very historical place. Good morning. You're on,
Happy
Michael.
Mid-show,
Happy
Michael.
Mid-show. We've been listening to you in the first hour. Happy Wednesday. So all the good
yes,
stuff.
Oh, yes, it is. All the above.
Well, Michael, we're going to get a little bit more into the vet talk that that we aired early this morning in the first hour. We're going to talk a little bit about that after our song choice today, our next song choice. But I wanted to kind of go in with Nicole Marie's Hope of the Day talk and connecting the dots. I don't know if you heard it, but what does that mean to you, and how it applies to that talk? Well, you know, we'll get into that. But what do those words mean to you?
To me, connect the dots means paying attention, and when you're doing police work, you know, that's one of the things, paying attention. But it's life. In life, you have to pay attention to things, and connecting the dots is part of paying attention. And also, with connecting the dots, also, you learn from your past mistakes. And they're not really mistakes. They're really called learning experiences. And you take away from your learning experience, and then you utilize that when you have the next thing you're doing that's very similar to that, you already have the experience. So connecting the dots is very important. It's so important to connect the dots so you can do something kind of foolish called keeping life moving. That's what it's about. Got to keep it
absolutely
moving.
Keep it moving.
Got to keep it moving. Well, listen, Michael. Nicole Marie, I just want to say, first of all, again, officially, thank you. You guys, we have been holding it down on the broadcast today. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, again, we've got a whole host of topics, talking topics today, really to get into. More on the chaos with the big movie, The Color Purple. Again, we got to get into that. Also, more Cat Williams talk on the way. A new topic I want to kind of add into the mix. I kind of have been obsessed with this whole big story that we're going to get into in the next hour about this airplane this door that kind of blew off.
Oh, yeah.
As the airplane was ascending, going up into the sky. So we'll get
the
into all
boat.
Of that talk and want to hear what you guys have. We're going to go in. This is something I know about. I'm a former flight attendant. We're going to get into all of
very
that.
Very much so.
We're going to have big talk coming up, so you don't want to miss it. Hey, Nicole Marie, I just want to say great job on Hope of the Day. We're going to be getting into the Vet Talk. More of that coming
very
up.
Very much so.
We're about to get on our wonderful song choice on our playlist today. I want to take a moment, though, first and acknowledge a little dedication to my dear brother who is no longer with us. Today would have been a big birthday for him, and I just wanted to definitely, his name is Dwight. Yes, I have a brother named Dwight. And, so he was never, I don't think he was ever on our show. He was never on this broadcast because I started the broadcast after he had passed. So, no, I definitely did not get a chance to have him on. And he was such a bigger-than-life person. He was a very hard worker down in Philadelphia, and he's so much missed that there are no words. So I just wanted to give a special dedication today. And, that's it. So, listen. Got a lot more to go this morning. Wanted to take a special music break with Scars the Beautiful. Haven't heard this in a long, long time. And then coming back with more Vet Talk, Radio Talk, and so much more. Hot Topics Wednesday. Stay with us.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image she prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining. Deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we're made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. As cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's girls eat nothing. She says beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. What's a little bit longer? I can go a little while longer. She fades away. She don't see her perfect. She don't understand. She's worth it. All that beauty goes deeper than the surface. Oh, oh. So to all the girls that's hurting, let me be your mirror. Help you see a little bit clearer.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
When you become successful, everybody wants you to be successful till you're successful.
That's a fact.
Then once you're successful, everybody wants to tear you down. They want to tear down a performance. They want to tear down what you said. They want to criticize you here. They want to find a bad thing to say about you. So you got to just keep walking.
Mm.
And your self-worth has to be strong enough that when everybody's trying to attack you, because they want to be you, and the only way they can be you is they rip you.
Mm.
And you have to be strong enough to take those attacks. You've just got to be strong enough. And when you're strong enough and you get who you are, man, what a life.
Surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. Two, slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. And three, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. And always feel that your life...
But I sing no victim song. I am a woman. I am an artist. And I know where my voice
below. You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and today we have another great guest with us. Her name is Ahava Felicidad. She's from the state of New Jersey. Ahava, I'd like to welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure to have you with us, and I want to jump right on in. Tell everyone about your salon and what you do.
Well, it's called Ahava Felicidad Hair and Body, what I call a growing holistic hair organization, and it is headquartered in Upper Montclair, New Jersey at Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad. So it's a cozy studio space, located in the town where I actually grew up in, so I'm a native of Montclair. And what services are offered here range from consultations, which include regimens and product recommendations, hair practice and care, sharing hair stories and finding out more about growing back hair from hair loss or breakage and just taking better care of hair. We also provide styling, so I do scalp hair and styling here at the studio as well. mix and make natural products. Have some distributor products here that are all natural and organic for, you know, anyone who's just maybe new on the journey or they've been on the journey for a while and they want to take everything they do to the next level. I also offer classes, so technique classes and also certificate classes for professionals and for clients.
Now, what kinds of classes do you offer?
The classes that are offered range from classes like two-strand and three-strand twisting, cornrows classes. There's one particular class that is called the Soft Style Trio. It's a new class where clients can come in and learn how to do French rolls, make mini buns, what we call thin buns, and make pineapples in the hair, and that way they can care for their hair and do some styling in between sessions. There are also classes on cylinders and microlinking, so braidless weaving techniques.
Tell us a little bit more about that, if you will.
Well, the classes on cylinders, that's really exciting because it is a technique that I find more so it's not talked about as often to cross over into working with kinky, curly, and wavy hair. It's a technique that you see most times just on done on straight hair or hair that is has been relaxed. So this class that we offer goes over how to work in natural hair and who you can provide cylinders for if their hair is not strong enough for braiding in a traditional weave with the weft, and the person wants to get their scalp. They also want to have a look that lasts a little bit longer than maybe a traditional weave or a crochet would. And we talk about in the class and train on how to care for the hair, what types of cylinders or hair would be installed for the client, and go over how to care for the hair as well as educate the clients on how to care for the hair.
Now, you have got to tell us, Ahava, how did you get started in this business, and you know, what inspired you so much to be so passionate about this?
I've been doing hair since I was a child, so I would say this goes back really far. We'll say middle school for the extension, but I actually started braiding my own hair around the age of 5.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I've been doing hair for a long time. Then I started helping other people with their hair in middle school, and I would say I do have a cousin who put extensions in my hair, and I felt what she did, and then I just began doing this. Now, the passion came from a mentor that I have, and the mentor, my mentor, Dr. Brown, told me, well, you know, you love to do hair. This is what you do. You do this really well. You know, he watched me with a few clients and said, well, this is where you need to go. This is where you need to be, and I see that you're very happy when you do this, because I am very happy when I'm working in hair. So around 2009, I started really doing more consultations, but I would say even all through undergrad, I did hair. And I assisted and gave recommendations on hair care even before I transitioned to natural. So hair is just inherently, it's just an innate thing in me. For anyone who's what I call a part of any type of collective, there'd be a collective group of artists. And I had a conversation with a client about this actually today when she said to me, well, when did you learn how to do three strands? Or when did you learn and how did you learn that? Did you see someone else do it? And I said, well, no, actually, one day I was working in hair and it just came to me to try three strands going in one direction. And then after that, I looked it up and saw that there were a few people doing this online. I went through all the ways that this technique can help with natural hair. And then I just continue to learn from there and let things come to me. And then I'll find out, oh, there's a few other people who may do this, but they're doing this on their own hair, not in practice to take care of others. So I actually will do this on my own hair and in practice to take care of others and help them to help to take care of themselves.
Wow. So you have to say that this is you really serving as an inspiration for others.
Yes, and I have been told that, but I've been an inspiration for many women going natural, an inspiration for naturals to do more with their natural hair, because I have been told, well, this is amazing. You actually help us. You'll teach us, and you'll do our hair. Like, we never find anyone who does that because, they, you know, everyone may not have that teacher in them. And actually still have, you know, the teacher in me where I want to share, and I want the legacy to carry on and to grow. And without sharing it, that won't happen.
I agree. Now, you did touch on this a little while ago, but I want to find a little bit more details about this because I honestly had never heard of the cornrow certification. Would you be kind enough to share with our listeners a little bit more detail about that? I think that would be great.
Yes. Okay. So I've just recently created a cornrow certification, class or actually program. So I have three levels of teaching how to cornrow. Now, of course, someone would already have an affinity for and some skills with braiding or creating cornrows. So most people who are coming to a certificate class of this nature or program already know how to braid, and then they're just looking to go to the next level. So I have a basic class, which would be called Natural Hair Newbie. In all of the programs, there's a natural, like an intro, which we call a novice, an intermediate, or an advanced. So with this cornrow cert program, there's actually an intro where you're practicing cornrows and you're required to actually do cornrows going straight back in several different number of cornrows. Then in level two, we go over everything we went over in level one as far as care and styling and, you know, how to co-wash the hair, things about caring for natural hair and transitioners. The next level of cornrows requires more intricacy. So we would do shapes and zigzags and crisscrossing and mandalas and things of that nature. The level above that's an advanced level that would be more for like couture and runway, where I love to work with copper and ribbon and hemp cord and satin cord, and so do others. And then they would learn how to install feathers, how to install ribbons, how to loop through on a crochet technique, satin cord to create accents in the hair. We also do threading with yarn or with thread, even silk thread, silk hair tinsel, you know, like fun hands-on accessories that will go in the hair for the very artistic styles. So you get everything with the three-part cornrows class. So cornrows are something that aren't traditionally taught extensively in a beauty program. That's something that's inherent, cultural, it's spiritual, it's educational, it's emotional. The more you practice, the better you're going to get. So the CERT program allows the practice and the longevity, and also then me being right there to say, okay, this is, you're doing really well, and then anyone else who's on our team that's a cornrows expert would be able to help and promote and support these designs, and then you're tested on, you know, the skills and then also the hair care knowledge.
Well, we have got to tell everyone how to find you.
Oh, definitely. It's so easy to find me. The number into the studio, there's a studio mobile. It's 973-619-2855. There's also a second line, which is a dedicated line for Team Natriotic. So that's team members who are patriots for, loyal to the natural hair movement and everything natural and chemical free. And also for other services that would provide, including body wrapping. That number is 201-921-9894. You can also find myself and then any post that I make or pages for Hava Felici Dodd Hair and Body at havafelicidodd.wordpress.com. And that blog actually functions as a website. We have a Facebook page. The Facebook page has some great albums of some foundation clients. So clients who've been with me since the beginning of the journey, you'll find pictures of them in different albums, and it'll show befores and afters. You can also find me on YouTube at Ahava Felicidad, the holistic hair healer. There are some fun YouTube videos on there. It's not
just hair.
Yes,
I watched
hair.
One or two, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a nice, well-rounded view of me and then other interactions with me and clients. And, of course, more videos to come and some things that may be like tutorials, but more of hair healing experience and getting to know me as a person.
Well, I have to say, from all that I'm learning, and you've done quite a bit. You've got quite a few things going on out there. But I love your commitment to those who are transitioning. And,
yes.
you know, it's, yes. please speak to that, because you're really able to. I think that, you know, especially for a lot of the women, that they'll be able to really relate, and they can relate, and I think that you really have walked so much and created such a path, and I just wanted you to speak to this art of transitioning and so forth.
The transitioning. Yeah. There are going to be women that are just not ready for the big chop. I call it it's called the big chop. I call it the leap of faith. When I actually cut my hair, I called it going turkey, and this was in the late 90s. Yeah, that's what we call it, the going cold turkey. Like when you quit something, you go cold turkey. And then natural movement began to blossom, and this big chop concept came in. So I feel like I was one of those naturals at the very beginning of this next influx of transitioning and going natural. Transitioners need assistance with everything. So what happens is, because the scalp is now detoxing from chemicals, a lot of women transitioning experience an extreme amount of itching and flaking. And that's coming from detoxing, and the body detoxing from now stopping the chemical relaxer.
Mm.
You need help with that, and you want to talk to someone, and they'll, of course, come to talk to me about what's happening, and I'll help them to get hydrated on structured water, also sugar scrubbing the scalp. Transitioners need to know their options on transitioning. So I will have the consult and say, okay, well, this is your hair texture and density, if I can see it. If they have about 3 inches, that's when we can really see more of the texture. 1 inch mm-hmm. to 2 inches may not be enough. Most transitioners, it's really going to depend on their lifestyle. So if they like a particular hairstyle, we have to go over, well, what types of styles do you like? What types of styles do you need for work? And we have this conversation about texture, density, length, and if they can rod set to transition, if they can blow out and ceramic press to transition, if they can 2-strand flat twist or 3-strand flat twist to transition. They may be able to braid or crochet, which is my favorite technique, and I would say I'm a crochet queen. I love doing crochet because crochet is another way for transitioners to make a smooth transition when they want longer hair, or they just want this particular look that, you know, they may not be able to get with their natural hair right away, but then cornrows are placed as a foundation, and different hairs or fibers are looped under the cornrow and tied to create like a full head weave. This can also be done with partials. So we have the conversation about the journey. We go over the entire, you know, if you grow half an inch of hair in a month, in 2 months you're going to have an inch, in 6 months, mm-hmm. you know, the average person grows, in 6 months the average person is going to have about 3 inches of hair, in a year, 6. So quantifying that and also giving quality to that experience helps naturals to connect with expectations, like managing an expectation of, well, how fast my hair is going to grow, and then what styling options I want to try. And then they get to just start having fun with that. And then we'll gradually trim ends. As the hair grows out, they can just trim. So some naturals, it may be 5 months. Others can transition 18 months or longer. It's so much based on their hair texture and density. Not as much the length, but texture and density are going to play a part in how long they can take the transition.
Well, they've got the perfect partner. If you've just joined
yes.
us, you're listening to their radio show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we've got with us Ahava Felicidad. Now, I love this, and your shop, again, is called, it's Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad.
Yes, Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad. And the buy comes from the experience. So there are different hair healing experiences that also take place at the studio. So that's the buy, because there are experiences that are being created here. Even some of the rod sets have names. There are classic deep treatments, and there are Renaissance deep treatments. Renaissance comes from my favorite time period in history, the Harlem Renaissance. Of course, then there's also the Renaissance period for classical music, and that's where the classical or classics came in. It's from my love of classical music. So I said, well, you know, what are my standards? My standards are classics. And then we'll have classic essentials. We have classic carrier oils. We have classic deeps. A classic deep will be a sugar scrub with an oil, and a natural conditioner. A Renaissance people have three or more essential oils, and it's an aroma and aromatherapy experience because I also do aromatherapy and essential oil therapies. And that's all a part of the Studio Pure experience. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, you it sounds that way. Now, I think we mentioned the name, but we didn't tell everybody again where it is. And I want to make sure they have your address and the phone number, however they need to come mm-hmm. out, because you make it sound so great.
Okay. Yes, it's great. Now, everything at the studio is an exclusive session, so everything that's here is by appointment or by what's called by reservation. So clients will call in to reserve. There's also the option to get a gift certificate, and then you get a gift certificate, and then you call in to reserve. So the studio is located at 260 Bellevue Avenue in Upper Montclair. It's on the second floor inside the movie theater building. So I'm in a building with a historic building, actually, with the Bellevue Movie Theater.
Oh,
so
yes.
We're inside there. So you won't see it just from the street. You would have to call in, and then on the blog it tells you how to get in, where to park and everything when you're coming in for services. When there are open house events, those go out to the client list, and then they're also posted on the blog, places like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It could also be announced in a YouTube video if there's going to be an open house. So I would like to one day soon to be able to offer like some open store hours to just come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a space for natural artists. So there are walls, plenty of walls here for anyone who's in the natural community and also does art in order to expand us out culturally. Events like that can be hosted at the studio.
Wow. Sounds so creative, of course, obviously.
Yes.
And I tell you, you are just doing some dynamic things. Now, what's next for you? You've accomplished so much. What's next?
What's next for me? Okay, that's a great one. What's next for me would be to create another certificate program. Maybe do some television. That would be fun. Well, I love the certificate programs because I get to teach others how to improve their skills, advance their skills, and help more people. So that part is very important to me, is continuing on the creating the programs and then, of course, filling those programs so that more natural stylists have the concept. And it's the Ahaba Felicidad concept. So they're also being taught what I do. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to learn more about essential oils, they can learn that. They can come in at different levels and decide, how far you want to go with what you're going to offer. And then it could also be someone who wants to join the team. And what's next will be another series in May, if not May, maybe June, of eHow videos. I also am an eHow presenter, so I'm a hair expert there. And I've just run a series of 10 titles on styling wavy curly hair. The next series will be on kinky hair, some with lock
twisting. How do they see those videos?
Those videos will be released in about 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And they'll be released on they'll be released on eHow soon.
Okay. Sounds great to me. Well, listen, I have to tell you, you're just doing so many wonderful things, and we want to take a moment to really say thank you. You are a trailblazer.
Thank you.
You really are. And you're doing some good things. So, listen, from the Hair Radio Show, did you have anybody that you want to shout out to or mention?
I want to thank God first, my family, and, of course, the makers of Dr. Brown's Healing Water.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Bond of Asway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
Boy, if you ever left my side, it'd be like taking the sun from the sky. I'd probably die without
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide, and the longest running hair and beauty radio show.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Wednesday morning. It's January 10th of 2024. I'm Kerry Hines, and it's so nice to have you with us. I'm with Michael Hopkins. Michael, are you there down in Spotsylvania, VA?
Very much so, Kerry Hines. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, the song you just heard was the singer Monica, and this was kind of like a little bit of a remake of sorts that was based on the Silly song by, of course, Denise Williams originally. Monica's been out there for a while. You guys probably know her from the hit song The Boy Is Mine with Brandy. So really good stuff. Great music today. You know, we're looking back at classic music, so we're going to really kill it with that.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, Michael, as you guys know, in the first hour today, we had a lot to get into and kind of chat about, which I'm so glad that we get a chance to revisit this. And it was the Vet Talk radio chat. So today we were talking about two big topics that you always cover, which are tinnitus and hair loss. Hearing loss. We cover hair loss too today. I think we talked about everything today. We really, truly unpacked a lot. What would you like say? What would you like to say at this time?
Oh, Kerry, you know, it's very important topics in the claims world. When we talk about tinnitus and we talk about hearing loss, those are things that affect millions of veterans. And sometimes some people get granted tinnitus and hearing loss, some people don't. And we know we have it, and it's just being able to prove medically that it's service connected. That is the challenge for veterans. It's always going to be some type of challenge, and it just so happens those two issues are challenges. But just because they're a challenge does not mean or dictate that you can't conquer those challenges. A lot of veterans get a little frustrated, and they quit right at the point where they should not quit because they're almost there. And all they have to do is dig the heels in. Sometimes it's just a matter of doing some research, and you can come up with the answer. I've helped veterans do this. Yes, sir.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have, Michael, being an accredited claims agent. Listen, I think we are going to, this is just the beginning, really, of the conversation today.
Very much so.
On the Radio Morning Show. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about that, Michael. I know that there's a lot more that you want to say. In our first hour this morning, we did talk about tinnitus. We talked about hearing loss. You covered it in such a great way, Michael. And I'm really proud of how you're pulling it all together. So every Tuesday, Michael's still on with the Vet Talk radio show at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, Tuesday morning. And in addition to that, and for the other days of the week on the Hair Radio Morning Show, in that first hour. We've got a little taste of vet talk. So we call it vet talk, really, in the mornings, or vet talk morning, in which we're covering a lot of this as a precursor to Michael's broadcast on Tuesday. So, you know, but I think it gives, again, it's not just talk about veterans, but it's talk for veterans that anybody can appreciate. So, and also I learn a lot, even myself. I'm not a veteran, but I learned so much, Michael, when you talk on these topics.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, Carrie, we have your honorary DD-214. All we need is to have a ceremony.
Oh, well, I'm perfecting my salute now to the veterans whom we love and appreciate, and just want you to keep on doing what you do. And we're going to do everything we can to continue the focus on community that Nicole Marie, Michael, myself, we all talked about on today's broadcast. So good stuff. Now, Michael, I've got the hot topic on the way this morning. I'm going to go ahead and get this back on our playlist today. Michael, you mentioned the song Ride on Time today by the 80s powerhouse group Black Box. You guys remember them. They were the Martha Wash was one of, she was the lady, a heavyset, wonderful singer, who Martha Wash sings so many hit records out there. These producers, just never really wanted to put her on the covers and on the videos and all that, it would seem. And so Martha sued them and all of this. So Black Box is kind of known for that. They have a little bit of a stain on there. I myself have chatted. I've chatted online. One of the fellas from CNC Music Factory who worked with Martha Wash, he knows who I am. I know who he is. And we were going to get him on the show, but I think we had a little tiff. Oh, you know, we are connected here. You're talking about Hair Radio.
Very
folks.
Much so.
So we'll talk about that. You know, we'll talk about that in a future show. But this song, it's a little bit of a little wake-up clubby-ish, but I think it's perfect and appropriate for that feeling that we need this morning, that little burst of extra energy. So, Michael,
we'll get
this on. It's only about 3 minutes, so keep it right here. When we come back, more talk on Hot Topic Talk. Doesn't get any bigger than this. Right on time. Black Box.
Gotta get up, gotta get up, gotta get up.
Oh.
Gotta get up, gotta get up, gotta get up.
Oh.
Oh,
something we want. And now is the perfect time for you to join our Hair Radio Morning Show Advisory Board. What is the Hair Radio Morning Show Advisory Board? Well, it's a voluntary group of amazing persons from all walks of life who come together every few months or so to share ideas that we can add to our broadcast. Now, you don't have to be in the hair or beauty world to participate, and it's totally free. So if you are interested, simply go to our website at afrolockmagazine.com. Again, that's A-F-R-O-L-O-C-K magazine.com. And send us a message or call us at 862-277-0686. Again, it's 862-277-0686. Thank you.
To rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live again. It is Wednesday morning. It's January 10th, 2024. It is just going great. It's our broadcast show number 936. And just real happy to be with you. It's our third hour. You guys know we're on from 6 in the morning until 9 a.m. Eastern. That's Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursday, Fridays live right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we are so, so super excited. Before we get into some of our hot chat this morning, some more hot topic talk with Michael Hopkins, I just wanted to also take a moment. Let me just get Michael on here. From Spotsylvania, Virginia. Michael, again, got a lot more to get into this in this third hour, our big spotlight hour, and today it's all about hot topic talk and all of that. And just wanted to say thank you. You heard, that song, which was Right on Time, again, Black Box, we had to get it on. I hope you guys enjoyed it out there. So, you enjoy it. Okay, good. I'm happy that you loved it. That's Black Box. And I love the songs they did with Martha Wash. You guys know. I don't know anybody else. That was one of their songs. They redid the song Fantasy by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And so I think I have some of those songs. We'll get them on. We're doing a lot of music replay of a lot of popular black songs that we've kind of forgotten about. And what's happening a lot when you turn on the radio, for those of you who still turn on the radio, these days we go to the internet and get music. But what I've noticed is that on commercials, on TV commercials, on programs, I don't hear the original song by the original black artist. I usually hear what sounds to me like a cover of that song by someone who obviously is not from the black community. So, Michael, how do you feel about that? Would you rather hear the original by a black artist, or would you like to hear a remake by, say, a white artist about the black song? Or does it bother you at all, or what? How do you feel? You know, what's your take on all this?
You know, Carrie, I would much rather hear the original artist that did the song. The cover stuff is sometimes it's too commercially, it's too. You know, you look at the commercials, Carrie, and it's so much going on in the commercials, it almost hurts your eyes so sometimes. But I love hearing the original music from the original artist because it takes me back to that particular time in my life when I heard the song or I used to listen to the song. I just feel much better like that. It just, it kind of bothers me, because what it reminds me of, Carrie, things that have happened in the past with black artists, especially, say, the 40s and the 50s, when this cover music was so popular, where a lot of the white artists would come up.
I think they've always been covered.
Right.
However, I think, Michael, thank you for that, but I think it has also taken a dark turn to me, where you're always going to have cover songs, let me just tell you what a cover song, for those of you who may not know. But, you know, let's just say that there was a hit record that is identified with, say, Michael Jackson and Billie Jean. So that was his big hit. Some other artist comes along and decides that they want to sing a version of that song. Well, in the music business, what they're supposed to do is one of two things, and that is really to reach out to that the publisher. Those are the folks who own the right to that song. And they could contact them and tell them they'd like to license the song so that they can cover the song and then make their own version of it. And how that works is that that person who is looking to cover the song, to put the song on their new album, has to pay the publisher a negotiated rate. And that rate is usually based upon how many albums that they decide to put the new song on. So if they decide to release 10,000 copies, then that new producer, that new artist, or the people who are doing the new version, will pay the original publisher, oh, we're going to produce 5,000 or 10,000 copies of the song on these records, 10,000 records. So we're going to pay you 25 cents, 50 cents, a dollar, whatever it is, for that. And that's what happens. Now, you can do that with the permission of the publisher. And to be quite frank, you can do it without the permission of the publisher by just paying what the average rate is and sending them a check.
Okay,
so, you know, now there's some of the legalities and stuff, but that's what a cover song is. A lot of times you'll have a new artist, which are real popular, take an old song that was little known and kind of sing it and make it, it almost sounds like it's their song, but it really was an original song by someone else. So I think next month, you know, we'll do some little cover songs. We'll cover songs. So we'll play the original and we'll play the remake and kind of, you know, pick them apart. So we'll get into that in some future shows. So, Michael, talking about Hot Topics today. Yeah, oh, we've gone in. It's been a great show because I love today's Hair Radio Morning Show where we talk about hair beating and community. And literally, we talked about everything from hair loss to AI on today's show. We've covered everything with Hot Topics on the internet, which have just kind of exploded the internet. Thank you, Mr. Cat Williams, the well-known comedian who did a huge interview that covered a span of topics. If that's not enough, Taraji P. Henson is still making news with that original claim, even though she's kind of retracted that or kind of explained a little better where she didn't feel that Oprah was really at the core of it. But it seems like that little retraction was still not good enough for the internet. It seems like Oprah's really going up against a lot of the folks who feel that that Taraji should have been treated better, and so might the others who were in the cast of this new musical called The Color Purple. So lots going on today, Michael Hopkins.
Yes, it is, Gary. Yeah, that is a lot going on. A whole lot of shaking going on.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's right. And so the Color Purple, so the whole thing, it sounds like that Taraji, apparently was paid, but there's also the talk that they didn't eat right, like the food wasn't right, and also they had to drive themselves to set down in Atlanta. They all had rental cars and had to drive to set. They weren't used to that, and most of them were accustomed to being driven to set. And so apparently that was an issue. It seems like one issue after the other with this movie. And so I'm just like, oh, boy. I mean, I've heard of some hot talk, but boy, oh, boy. The Color Purple's been the color red. And, yes, indeed.
Wow.
Yeah, they've gone in. One of the things I wanted to talk about, Mike, a little different topic, just shifting a little bit on this, because I don't know if you guys have, I'm sure you've seen all over the news where there's been this huge talk about the 737 aircraft called MAX,
right.
MAX 9. Okay, here's the thing. There are only two airlines, and we're going to talk about this because, to me, this is important. I don't usually talk about my past career in the airline industry much, but I think it's appropriate here. And this MaxJet, which had been involved in, first let me just kind of give you a little bit of the background here. We're talking about the Boeing Airplane Company. What an airplane company does is it builds airplanes, sells them to airlines. Now,
very
not
much
just
so.
Airlines, but they're airlines based all over the world. So these big powerhouse companies, such as Boeing, which makes the 737s, MAX 9, and I myself have been trained on the early versions back when I flew. I was a flight attendant for one of the major carriers, and I flew on the 73s. We call them 73s, the 737s, but they were early series. I've never flown on this MAX jet, and thank goodness for that. For me personally. But I do want to say this, and if you didn't hear the story, there was an Alaska Airlines, you guys know they're out west. They don't come out here to the East Coast. So the Alaska Airways airplane, this Boeing aircraft, again, only two airlines in America use this 737 version. Again, the MAX 9, and just two airlines, with one of which is Alaska, which had the issue, the incident happened, and the other is United, which, of course, you guys remember Continental Airlines. Their name change over to United. They had this big acquisition and all of this. So now we have United Airlines. So they're the only ones between United and Alaska. So what's happened in recent days, of course, is that they have grounded these MAX 9 737s, pending the outcome of these investigations and all of this. Now, for me, I remember seeing something where hundreds of people had died, and it was just some awful news. This was several years back when they first introduced this aircraft. And to me, the internet is reporting that Alaska Airways decided that because they had been talking about this decompression light, indicator a few times had, gone off or whatever, and it's been reported that supposedly, we don't know, that they have been saying, well, just fly the plane. We won't take it over water in case you got to get back to an airport. So
yeah, that is just, wow.
I don't know if that's, to me, that I can't imagine Alaska or anybody else saying something like, oh, you know, basically is go ahead and fly it. We're going to fly it anyway, even though we've heard about some indicator light. We're going to just fly it. We won't go over the water. We'll just, because this is not something that they would take that lightly. First of all, those overhead, they have these things called, they're like, they're in case of any kind of change in altitude or anything like that, you have these masks which they come out of a compartment overhead, and you just kind of put it onto your, it's for oxygen and you can breathe.
Right.
Because remember, the inside of the aircraft is, you know, it's pressurized. So
right.
It's not like, you know, just outside. It's pressurized to, you know, so that the aircraft can travel, you know, through the air. And in the case of this Alaska Airways airplane, the panel, part of the side of the aircraft, they had an extra door. And what I remember, these extra doors, often they are used for just in case of an emergency, but also sometimes they're service doors where they load the food on and all that kind of stuff. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Okay. So that the pan obviously blew off the side of the aircraft. So it's like shaped like a door. And I kind of want to kind of blast the media a little bit, Michael, on this, because the news media kind of was saying, oh, there was a hole in the side of the aircraft. I said, these folks don't know what they're talking about. You can clearly see that that was a panel shape from a door.
Very
much
so.
And they don't understand the difference between a hole being blown in and a door that obviously was, you know, came ajar and fell off. Now, here's the thing. And they've since found the door, I believe in Oregon, the state of Oregon. They found it in a backyard somewhere. But the thing is, it could have been catastrophic because the the airplane with all these folks on there, and I think they had 100 and some folks on there, was at about, I think it was about, reported at about 14,000 feet, something like that. So what that was, that for folks who don't know, that's climbing altitude. So when the plane takes off, it's climbing up, and that is where it's still like 10,000 feet, 12,000 feet, 13,000 feet, so forth and so on, till it gets to an average, a height of about 30,000 feet in the air. That's the, what they call cruising altitude. So that airplanes cruise at 30,000 feet. Now, if there is any kind of a problem with pressurization on an aircraft, that's huge. And it can create a real bad illness in the people on the aircraft. So if there's any kind of depressurization, again, you're going to have that overhead mask that pops down. And also be aware that if, you know, the people on board the aircraft would experience something called hypoxia. You guys can all look that up. And it has some real awful ramifications. Now, that's not the worst of it. The worst, again, you can be sucked right out of that aircraft. And I do mean sucked out of that aircraft like you, and just blown to smithereens, so to speak. And
very much
that whole aircraft could have blown up had it been, if that same scenario happened a little bit higher, then we would have a very sad situation on our hands. So the fact that it was at 14,000 feet, as opposed to its cruising altitude of 30,000 feet, that made a huge difference. And again, they're still investigating all of this. And I, as I said, I've worked in the industry for many years. I'm a former flight attendant.
Very much so.
And I taught everything from reservations and was in management at several airlines. So I'm very familiar with the topic.
Carrie. Yeah. Very, very and much so, say, Carrie. Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. I appreciate that. And so we want to kind of, you know, I don't usually talk about it here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, but folks have asked me to explain this. You guys, if you have questions or comments, press 1, and that will get you on live right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show on this Wednesday morning. So I just wanted to get that on out, Michael, because folks are talking about this. And
yeah, very much so.
Huge.
Very
How
huge.
How do you feel
Carrie.
About it, Michael? What do you want to talk about it on that?
Oh, yes. Yes, Carrie. It's a very huge topic because Boeing has had some incidents with many of their planes over the last few years.
I don't want to name. Yeah, Michael, let's also be clear about this. We cannot just toss out saying something negative about these corporations. Right. But they've, so it's alleged we don't know until the investigations are all finalized, and we'll bring that to you.
Right.
So we have to be mindful and be respectful because I have flown the 73s many, many times. There's not this new MAX 9 jet or whatever. And again, it's had some challenges. So we have to be mindful and speak in generalities and not necessarily just, we can't lay a fait accompli outcome on and link that with a corporation. Okay, so we have to always be careful how we present everything, okay, for everybody's sake. But I get what you're saying, and it's not that it's not news. You guys can Google a lot of this out there. But what was your point, Michael, in general terms, without naming names? Let's try to avoid that.
Well, without naming names, they're definitely – They've had issues, different organizations, that, you know, as you're saying. And a lot of this stuff many times spills over into the military also with airplanes and catastrophic things and so forth. And, you know, my heart goes out to the people that were on a vehicle like that, an airplane like that, because I can imagine – something like that happens, and all of a sudden, you know, that could lead to mental health issues, you know, PTSD and anxiety, depression. It could lead to all of these things. So my heart goes out to
well,
the
we
people.
Haven't even,
you know,
yeah, yes. Thank you for that. We haven't even gotten to that conversation yet. And let me tell you, yeah, that's very true. It is possible. We don't know how to process these things. As I said, I've flown for a major carrier. I certainly have been around, and I know what it's like to, and you guys may have had this kind of experience where the plane kind of loses altitude, just a sudden drop. I've been on those planes, and that's no fun either. And so all of this, you know, again, now let me just also take a moment to shout out to the amazing airline industry that every day they've got thousands and thousands of flights taken off, and you never hear anything, which is great.
Right.
These folks work very hard. And so I'm so proud of the work that the folks in the industry are doing. And that the airlines, they work very, very hard to make sure safety is number one. And
very
just so that
so,
you
Carrie.
Guys are aware, because a lot of folks may not realize what folks are out there for, like, the flight attendants. They are on board not to get you some coffee or tea, but they're on board for safety. And here's how it works. For every airplane, they have, it's an old formula that they use, which is like for every 50 passengers, you have one flight attendant. So that's kind of the kind of load, we call it, the load that you have. So anyway, that's kind of the talk. And again, you know, I'm wishing that they're able to fix these, this particular aircraft. Again, it seems like it's been problematic to me from day one. I think it's something they need to take a good look at, and hopefully the investigation will get to the bottom of it. And thank God everybody is safe in this.
That's the number one thing, Carrie.
That is something that
but you know, Carrie, just like you said, there are so many people in that industry that are dedicated people. They go to work every day to be dedicated. And that's a great thing. I mean, millions of people fly every year, and you have so many different people behind the scenes. You know, you have the security people, you have the airlines people, you know, the baggage people. All of these people play a part in that industry, and all their jobs are so very important. And a lot of times people don't see that, but they're also important. And I just, you know, I thank God every day that we have people like that, that are in that industry.
Yeah,
because
also it's exactly that, and as part of the industry, we're also talking about those who are working in the tower and communicating with the pilots and all of that. So, you know, again, I'm really proud because that is, you know, for me, I've worked in the hair and beauty industry, the financial industry, and the airlines industry. So those are my
wow,
that's
very
my background,
much so,
folks, in case you didn't realize that. But yeah.
Wow.
And
very
not to mention
so.
Entertainment as well. Yeah. Entertainment as well can be added on in there. Now I wanna say, you know, Michael, unless you've been under a rock, we've heard a lot. There is so much alleged behavior. And again, we're not naming names, folks. That's not what we can do here. But we do want to talk about a lot that's been shined, the lights that kind of been shined on. Comedian Cat Williams has had a lot to say about it over the weekend. We saw it really kind of break the internet. But there's so much negativity that's kind of this alleged behavior from one of the popular rap entertainers of our time. He's been facing quite a whole bunch of allegations and all this kind of stuff, and it's kind of a big shock. You know, what can we say about the entertainers? Are our black entertainers under fire, Michael? That's the question for you today. So anything that you can shed some light. And again, let's be very cognizant of these are just allegations at this point, and let's avoid naming names. So what do you have to say about all the coverage on the internet, Michael?
Wow, Carrie. Yeah, I've watched some of the things that have been put out there on Facebook and YouTube, and it kind of saddens me, too, that here we are in the 21st century, and it's like a repeat of the same issues over and over again with people and behavior. And sometimes, folks, you just need to be where you're supposed, like I learned in the military, be where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to be doing. And be honorable of what you're supposed to be doing. That's the way I look at it, Carrie. Sometimes people are not honorable in what they do. They've been given a gift and a talent, and they should utilize that gift, that talent, in the best way possible and be the best representative of that talent that you have. A lot of times,
that's,
you know,
a good
all
point,
of,
Michael.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Now,
Karen.
Do you feel that there are folks in our community, some of these high-profile entertainers have been accused, again, in recent times, of all kinds of things. So you're saying that it's because of their behavior, perhaps, and they should probably be grateful for these gifts and, again, avoid some of these temptations and things that maybe, you know, gotten them in the hot water that they seem to be in.
Very, very much so, Carrie. And that's what happens. A lot of people, they get tempted with things, and instead of thinking, and I would suppose if you and I or anyone was in that position where, you know, the money is flowing and you can just get about anything you could desire, and a lot of people can't handle that, apparently. And they start doing things.
That's a big part of it, Michael. But I also think in recent years, we've seen bad behavior rewarded. We've seen a lack of accountability, especially for people of color. For people who are not people of color.
Right.
So in other words, the only folks who seem to be held accountable to me are black folks. We're the only ones that seem to be held accountable. But that's, I digress, that's another topic that we're going to delve into in real close times. But as far as this goes, my concern is that some of the folks in our community feel that blacks were being torn down, some of these heroes that we've had. Is it true that it's the behavior in some cases, perhaps, in other cases, maybe it's a bit of an exaggeration? I don't know. We don't know, again,
right.
A lot of this behavior at this point, and the folks that are crossing my mind, it's been alleged. It hasn't been proven, and so we're kind of, we're talking about it, but with a little bit of careful communication style and getting things across on this. Michael, what about the color purple? All the chaos that's kind of surrounding the movie. I didn't see the new musical version that Oprah in part produced with the studios, with the studio out there. I just know that it's not something that's kind of my style. But the stars of the movie, The Color Purple, have been talking a lot about how they were treated with regards to pay, with regards to food, with regards to having to drive themselves to the set.
Right.
So, Michael, this has been huge. It's all over the internet. Do you feel that that we're not being fair to these producers of the movie, or do you think that perhaps no, maybe there's more to it? What would you like to say, Michael?
Okay, I think it's always two sides to a story. Always, no matter how big the story is, how small it is. And in this entertainment world, there's always two sides to the story. And I feel as though somebody's side is not getting out there. And it's always, whatever the truth is, there's always that thin line between it's almost the truth till here's what actually happened. And I get the impression many times, that's the impression I get, that it's almost there, but let me tell you my story kind of thing. That's what the impression that I get when I see a lot of these reports on TV and just watching stuff just makes me wonder sometimes. Okay, makes me wonder.
I appreciate that, Michael. When it comes to the internet, though, it's hard to know and to discern what is the truth from what's not the truth. And
right.
The comedian, I don't know if you saw this, we talked about it mid-show in the second hour, where comedian Cat Williams had a lot to say about just about everything. And I enjoyed the interview that he gave. And I've enjoyed the way that folks have been responding to the interview. That was great for me. I enjoyed it. I loved how they broke it all down. And so if you guys missed any of our live chat today or any part of today's broadcast, we're going to share the entire three-hour show, the three-hour recording, coming up in the next hour. So it'll be put out through Facebook and on social media and all that wonderful good stuff. And, you know, so it's a lot going on these days, Michael. It has definitely not been quiet.
Very much so, Carrie. And
yeah.
You bring out a good point, Carrie, about, you know,
what's
the media, the internet, Facebook, TikTok, all of these different things. You bring out a great point about all of these things interact with each other and you know, where is the truth? Is it around the corner over there, or is it around the corner to the right? And we, you know, as people, we have to kind of figure out where is this going, and is it
well,
the truth?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that in this day and age where you have all kinds of AI and artificial intelligence out there.
Right,
and
I was going to
so
talk. I was going to say that, right.
And, this and, that. And social media is just one part of it. But what it's really saying right now, anyway, is that we have to be careful of the source. Many young people who are basically getting their news from, you know, streaming on the internet or, you know, on their cell phones. That's where they're getting their news from. Some of the older generation, well, they're still looking at TV. You know, so it's a lot going on these days, and we have to remember to be positive, be supportive. And I think we'll be getting there. So, listen, why don't we
very much so
take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, it'll be time for our pretty much for our whole big send-off today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I'm really, you know, I've enjoyed this broadcast today. That's all I can say.
Oh, very much so, Carrie.
I really
it's been great today.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, so listen, let's take a little bit, 5 minute little break. Even less, we'll be right back and stay with us.
I found out just the other day that you were giving it away. I found out just the other day that I'm gonna make. Thank you.
Michael Hopkins. It has just been a fantastic show today.
Yes, it has.
I really have.
Yes, it has been.
Yeah.
It really has
been.
It's
been an exciting Wednesday morning.
Oh, yes, and I enjoyed, you know, the topic that we talked about today. This is something that, you know, it's all about hair, beauty, and community. It's all about that.
Yes. Well, we kind of went in, Michael, a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Topic today.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about everything from hair loss to artificial intelligence to the airlines to a bit of the hot topics that's going on out there that's all affecting our lives. We can't pick up our cell phones without seeing some of these things, you know, popping up on screen. So we had to address them. You want to tune in tomorrow. We're back. Boy, are we back. We're live all this week. Again, we're here Thursday and Friday still of this week. And then, of course, all next week. So you'll be able to tune in and hear new episodes of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Today, again, was episode number 936 as we march towards 1,000 episode, our 1,000th episode, which should hit about June or July this year. So it's going to be super exciting, and we have so much. We'll bring you up to speed on the cruise. We'll be talking about that. We've got some other things as well as some new products. The magazine will be back. We're rebuilding our websites now and kind of looking at everything. So we've got a lot more to come. You haven't seen anything yet.
Oh, yeah.
So, Michael, great show again. Shouting out Nicole Marie, our entire team. Awesome job. Awesome job. I really have to say I just loved it today. And we'll see you back here first thing tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 if you're in the central time zone. So, Michael, let's get our outro on. We'll see you back here tomorrow, folks. Great job.
Thank you very much.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines, and the entire broadcast family, we say thank you to our fans for tuning in.